Welcome to the Dream Chaser Set season finale. We have reached the peak. The Phoenix is here. This Saturday night, let's bring the best in the business in Mr. Jason Patch Adams, Mr. Corey Smith. Patch, I might start with you, mate. You've been everywhere this week. Every time I turn a racing radio or TV channel on, there you are talking about the Phoenix, pumping it up. How's it all been, mate?
Yeah, well, I guess that's just how big this event is. I mean, there's so many opportunities because there's so many people talking about it, Rich. I'm well and looking forward to what will be a big night on Saturday. So it is, without doubt, the most talked about event of the whole year. So the build-up is done, and now it's time to get the knife and fork out and get stuck into Saturday night.
Exciting stuff. Now, Corey, the term 2-0 is synonymous in Australia at the moment because obviously in the Ashes, Australia's up 2-0. But in the you and Patch went head-to-head last Saturday night, and you came out 2-0 as well. How are you feeling about that, mate?
Well, they say a broken clock is right twice a day, and it just happened that it worked out for me on Saturday night. But apologies for the message at 3:30 a.m. I was at a wedding and had bugger all service, so I'm going to hide behind the fact that I tried to send it earlier, but it just went through when I got service. But I'm not real sure either way on that one.
So, no, very good tipping by you, mate. They were at a price, so well done, and let's try and finish off. All right, boys, why don't we go and look at the box draw? So, of course, it happened on Sunday at South Wharf. Might switch back to you, Patch. What was your initial reaction to the box draw? What were the surprises?
Well, there probably were a couple, and I guess a lot of these connections, given whoever was drawn out in the sequence, had the choice to choose their remaining box. So I guess that the first surprise was possibly Slick Splits for a lot of people, and it's polarizing these decisions because as Corey Heinrich said, as she went into box number one, we'd rather have one than anyone else, despite it not being absolutely perfect for Slick Splits. So he was probably one of them. Ned McDonald going to box eight when box four was available was a surprise as well. But for the rest of them, pretty straightforward line and length top of off. So that were probably the main surprises out of that draw.
Very good. Corey, anything more to add on the box draw?
Yeah, it was intriguing. And obviously going into it, we thought if Mally Beauty comes out first, they're not going to go to box number one. And I was probably in the camp of Slick Splits not going to box one as well. And then when I saw him draw out first, I thought, oh, where's he going to go? Are they going to go for a middle draw? Are they going to go for a wide draw? And sure enough, they went for box number one, which you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I loved what Corey Heinrich said that Patch just brought up then. If we have box number one, then no one else has it. So it's somewhat defensive, but it's also attacking as well. If he gets out in front and is able to use the track, then he's going to be really hard to beat.
What do I say with you, Corey? So what is your overall feeling on the race, and can you steer us into who we should back?
Super intriguing. Obviously, with the box draw the way it is, it almost turns into a preferential box draw early and then strays away from that late. There's dogs that want to get across to the rail, like Distinction. She's never been around two turns, though, so we're speculating a little bit from box number four that she's going to go hard left and head towards the rail. You got Mally Beauty in seven, who she was unsuited by box one in the Top Gun. She looks like she should get plenty of room out there, and she's where she wants to be. Accredited will get plenty of room to balance up. Where can he get to in the run? So it is really, really intriguing. And I think the first split, that first 5 seconds, is going to be the key to pretty much all the dogs' chances.
Okay. And what, if you have to lean one way, where would you be leaning?
I'm going to be with Arise of Sparkles. I think for me, the most likely scenario in terms of the map is Distinction's going to go hard left. Deadly Avenger's not going to show a huge amount of speed, but he's going to stay straight anyway. And Mally Beauty's going to use plenty of the track. So I think that leaves Arise of Sparkles, who has a bit of early speed in her locker, with plenty of room. And if she gets that and she can get out on the arm, then she's going to be tough and hard to beat. So going for a little bit of value this year.
Excellent. Hey, Jace, first question before we get your thoughts. Were you surprised when Awesome Lodge picked Distinction? We chatted a bit about last show. Was Distinction in the mix for you before they picked her?
No way. I mean, when you wipe back the clock and even 6 months, you know the Thompson team could have five or six they could throw in the Phoenix. Unique situation where they had bugger all, and they did say they were going to go left field, and I don't think there's a further left field to be in than a greyhound that's had 5 starts, hasn't had a run in the city, and here she is lining up in a Group 1 Phoenix. So it's an amazing circumstance, and from my point of view, she is the sleeping giant of this field. Everyone out there has the feeling, and knowing what she's trialed, that she can break 5 seconds to the first split of the Meadows, which would have her leading the Phoenix. So clearly the last 50 metres is going to be the question, but she's a sleeping giant for me.
Exciting. Why don't you keep rolling, mate? What is your play in the race and overall thoughts?
Deadly Avenger on top for me, Rich. And when I look at this map and a lot of big races, when you look at them in hindsight, you go and think, geez, you got a clear run, and clear runs are everything. So with Mally Beauty in box seven, she's going to step pretty well. She's going to hang wide, not come down to the rail. Then you've got the likes of Ariza Sparkles, Distinction, who aren't going to drift wide. So for Deadly Avenger, who's in a unique situation himself, so you saw in the Cup Night sprint, he is flying. However, he's first up for Jason Thompson, which has been part of the negotiation for this slot. So for an animal to go to a new environment, you expect he's going to come into it pretty fresh. He needs to begin, but I think the circumstances that surrounds him suggest that he's every chance to begin. So he's fast enough, and if he gets it right, I think he's a massive hope, Deadly Avenger for me.
Excellent, boys. Both your players are tasty odds. We like that. So we can see on the screen there, we've got the reserves, Colac Kid and Dacey's Rory. They almost certainly won't run, but they will run in the Challenger match race. And I thought we'd have a quick look at that. I love a match race. Everybody loves a match race. There it is up. So, of course, they'll jump from the red and the white. They're favouring Dacey's Rory just slightly. That could change. It's pretty good that they're even. You always want a match race to be as even as possible. Corey, might come back to you and tell us what you think about this race.
Yeah, I love this match race. I think they're really evenly matched. We've seen them both go at Sandown in recent times. Colac Kid led a shootout in 5.09, won in 29.20. Dacey's Rory, a week later, wins a Melbourne Cup heat where he didn't lead. He was in third, going 5.07, which is slightly quicker, and then goes 29.25 after having to work his way around them. He can use a little bit of the track, so they're drawn exactly where they want to be. I think both sets of connections would be happy with the draws. Both sets of connections would be happy with their dogs going straight into this race, and I think both of them are capable of running that 29.6s sort of mark. It's just going to be that first split. Whoever goes quicker, we saw Dacey's Rory go 5.02 last year, which would lead most races, let alone this sort of match race. So it's going to be game on going into that first bend. And then down the back, I reckon both of them will be able to take off because that's their bread and butter.
Who do you lean to, mate?
Dacey's Rory. He's going to be in my set a little bit later on. Ooh. I really like him. I was surprised that some places put up Colac Kid around even money with Dacey's Rory in the match race. I think he's just perfectly drawn and he gets the sit regardless of whether he leads or not. So Rory for me.
Okay, love it. Hey, Jace, you want to shoot Corey down, or are you going to let him have his time in the sun and not get in his way in this race?
Well, no, I'll shoot him down here, and not that I'm feeling super strong about it. And look, those prices are pretty good compared to some of the feral numbers that have gone up for a two-dog race with some other operators. But I really feel this race is going to be decided in the first 50, 60 metres. There's not a lot between these two. As Smithy said, Dacey's Rory's not going to pin himself to the fence. Colac Kid's going to begin cleanly, and there should be room for him to settle on the rails. So as much as in theory they all get clear runnings in these match races, I think track position is going to be all important. So Colac Kid on top for me.
Fair enough. Hey, Corey, I'm going to go back to you and get your last official Dream Chasers set, please, mate.
Three bets for me. We've already got through one with Dacey's Rory, but race four, number seven, Whiskey Whiskers. He won the Group 3 Great Chase here going a few months back. He's gone to Sandown. He comes back to the Meadows. He strikes me as a dog that is better at the Meadows and better off wide draws. He can use a fair bit of the bend going into that first corner. Then race seven, number three, Traumatize, arguably the fastest dog on the card, which is a big statement to make. I think he comes up with a nice draw. The two, Crackerjack Ralph, is going to give him room, and the four is going to keep a straight line as well, which is the absolute key to his chances. And as I said, there's not many faster dogs in the country. And then race nine, number three, Dacey's Rory in the match race to round it out and hopefully be a nice lead into the big one, the Group One Phoenix, the world's richest greyhound race.
Perfect. Over to you, Patch.
Well, I'm going head to head with Smithy, so I got my strides pulled down last Saturday night, but we'll have another crack here. Race four, number two, Dewana Star, who won at the Meadows last Saturday night. Now, his circumstance this week, he's got a greyhound by the name of Electra Beta in box three and he's outside. That greyhound will move wide. Dewana Star needs no opportunity, but he'll get it. He'll accelerate, go forward. He's favourite and should be really hard to beat. The other one who gets a similar path is race eight, number one, Intrepidus. It's a bit of a tougher situation, but he's got Avengement on his outside, who's another one who doesn't pin himself to the fence. So for Intrepidus, who has one of the best turn of foots in the country, he made a meal of it in the Melbourne Cup, but he gets an opportunity for some sort of redemption in his seat of the Silver Chief. So race eight, number one. And then the last of them comes up in race 11, which is the Whiskey Riot. So for anyone out there wondering what this race is about. It's comparable to the Grays race in the Gallops, where Brindle and fawn-coloured greyhounds compete in this one. And I'm with number four, Valenzuela, the third place getter in the Melbourne Cup. It's clearly a race that's not of the intensity of which he's faced over the past couple of weeks. So I think he's a decent price and should go well. So race 11, number four, the third of my trio.
Thank you. And sad news during the week, boys. Wentworth Park from September 2027. It will no longer be a greyhound racing track, which is sad. I spent a lot of time out at Wentworth Park because I'm Sydney-based. It's actually one of the first jobs I had in racing back in like 1997, 1998, working for a book out there. Spent a lot of time out there. Have you boys spent a lot of time at Wentworth Park over the years, even though you're Victorian-based?
Yeah, I've been up there to work and probably 20 times or so. And look, when it's packed, I don't think there's a better coliseum in greyhound racing than Wentworth Park. And it seems like a decision being made by the government for financial reasons. And let's hope that Greyhound Racing New South Wales get the right finances required to replace, because that's going to be a tough thing to do, but at least invest in a new home for the Metro Greyhound Racing in New South Wales. But it's sad, isn't it, Smithy? I mean, it's a coliseum, and I think there's no joint like it when it's up and running on $1 million chase night.
No, absolutely. The problem obviously is that it doesn't get to that point all that often. It's only a couple of times, maybe a handful of times a year that it gets to that sort of old heyday sort of standard. And that's with every greyhound track around Australia and the world, really. So if you put your greyhound Nuffy hat on, which you and I, Patch, definitely wear those pretty frequently, it is a shame to see one of the major tracks going under, essentially, for lack of a better term. But if you put on your administrative or your governance sort of hat, it does make sense. It is a big sort of space in a really, really important part of the city for Sydney. So everyone has to travel to Wentworth Park. There's no greyhound trainers directly around there. So hopefully they can find a suitable replacement that suits everyone, that makes it a little bit easier for people to get to and ticks a few of those boxes. But we will certainly miss Wentworth Park when it's at its best.
And the issue is that, so Harold Park got sold, whatever it was, 15 years ago, that Harness Racing in New South Wales owned it. So they got a couple hundred million dollars. It was a great deal. Everyone was happy. But the issue with Wentworth Park is Greyhound Racing has never owned it. So, and the government, all they've provided is like 10 million. They've said, here's $10 million. And I think it's over 4 years as well to, you know, increase the infrastructure and quality of some provincial country tracks. But I mean, that's just not going to cut it. And I really feel like the government need to come to the party and give some significant funding, you know, like 50 to 100 million, try and build something like the queue. And it's obviously a huge economic driver, greyhound racing, but more than that, think about all the money they've got out of the taxes over the years. So hopefully they do something better. And they're going to get so much money out of selling it. You know, they'll sell Wentworth Park to developers for, I don't know, $1 billion or something like that. So they've got to find something for the greyhound industry.
Yeah, it's always felt inevitable. And to be honest, the administration probably should have made a call, whether that be 5, 10, 15 years ago, because I think it was a pretty common sentiment in the industry that when this lease ran out in 2027, that it would probably be it. So the fact that they weren't super proactive is probably disappointing for a lot of people, and that probably impacts the payout that they get at the end. But this is the card that the current administration's been dealt, and I'm sure they'll make the best possible decisions for greyhound racing as a whole and obviously particularly in New South Wales.
Yeah, we'll get there. But no doubt all three of us will be there. We've still got a couple of years to go, don't we? So it's still 2 years away, so we've got plenty of time to enjoy it. So this is the season finale, so this last show obviously, but looking ahead, boys, after this, it's a bit quieter down Victoria Way, but then the Australian Cup late February, the Australian Cup Carnival. You tell us a bit about that, Corey?
Yeah, it's in my neck of the woods at the Meadows, which I'm obviously biased, but it's plenty of fun. And it's a three-week series, the Australian Cup, these days, and it kicks off week one with a couple of group ones with the Temley and the Zoom Top. And then you've got the heats of the Australian Cup. Then the following week, you've got the semis of the Australian Cup, and you've got the Fanta Bale heats as well. And don't worry, this is hard to keep track of, but all you need to know is there's five group ones across the 3 weeks, and the final night has three group ones, and they are rippers. The Australian Cup, which is an unbelievable race, the Rookie Rebel, a handpicked field over the 600, and then the Fanta Bale over the 700. So it's a very fun time, and hopefully we get some nice weather come back end of February, because it certainly hasn't been that kind to us just yet.
Fantastic. Hey, boys, thank you. You're both a credit to yourselves in the industry. You're very professional, but a lot of good fun as well. So we really appreciate it. It's been good fun from our end. I'm sure we'll do something like this again. We'll just see what happens after all this dies down. But have a great time on Saturday night, and good luck to everybody out there, and we'll see you all soon. Think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.